If you're what they call a spiritual person, or a religious person, or a philosophical person, or just a deep thinker, what happens when you come to the end of your seeking and you find the truth? Have you ever thought of that? What happens when you find the truth? I don't think many people ever do that, because they're locked in their own understandings, you see. They have words or phrases or symbols or ideas about reality, and they get so locked into them that they cannot get beyond them. They begin to think the representatives that they have been given for the ultimate are actually the ultimate, not realizing that these descriptions are cultural descriptions. They're descriptions given by men and women, filtered by the thoughts and the beliefs of these people's egos, sometimes passed down from one generation to the next, and sometimes shaped by the ideas of various generations about the way the world should be, the way utopian society should be. Many people latch on to these understandings and latch on to these beliefs, thinking that they are the pure good news or a gospel, but they really miss the point. They are not the good news. They are not the gospel. They are not God. God is creator, the ultimate. They are all just representatives of that. And we can only see as far as our perception of that, or our lens allows us to see. If we fall in love with what our lens allows us to see, we never reach the end. We never reach the aim that the great teachers and religions, the original religions, pushed us towards. And that aim is not to be a good religious person, no. It's to be the divine source that we're looking through. Excuse me, that we're looking for here on earth. It is channeling that love, that kindness, that understanding through ourselves as we become conduits of love. And when this happens, you see, the philosophy, the religion, the symbol, the understanding all die. And we enter into ultimate oneness and love. Many of you may have been very dedicated religious people. After a time, perhaps you were seeking, noticing all the hypocrisy around you, not finding what you were looking for. Until the level of dissatisfaction with these religions got so high that you wanted to throw them out. You wanted to leave them. You never wanted anything to do with them again. You closed the door. Shut yourself away from them. Well, no one will tell you this. Perhaps a few, but not many. But what happened was that you reached a plateau of greatness. The dissatisfaction was a doorway. It was something there to shake you up. There was something there to let you know that all of these rituals and all of these names and chants and gods and goddesses and all of that were not the thing that you were looking for. Because the thing that you were looking for was experience. The knowledge that comes by being and experiencing, not from hearing and repeating and doing all kinds of rituals. So when we reach that level of dissatisfaction, it is not a curse. It is a gift. There's an old Zen koan that says that being enlightened is like a person carrying a heavy burden on their back up a hill. They sit the burden down. They look around and they notice the beauty and the wonder all around them. And after they have filled themselves with that, they pick up the burden and continue on their journey. This is the end of all religion, you see. It's all about coming to a place where we stop. The place of dissatisfaction often drives us to do that. We look around. And as we look, we allow ourselves to see the beauty. There may be ugliness. There may be violence. Pain. Separation. All of the hypocrites running around condemning people. There may be contradictions in religious texts. There may be sheer sadness or anger because the world has so much potential and there is so much beauty in it and possibilities that people are not working to attain or support. Even so, if one can see the potential beauty, if one can see the beauty, the creativity, and the loving kindness that exists beneath all of the treachery, the deceit, the twisting of the moral fabric that our corrupt society adds to it, if one can just see that, dwell in it, inhale it, exhale it, and become part of it. One has come to the end of religion and is awake and live. And then one can pick up their burden if they like and go whatever direction that they want to go into because they know who they really are, instead of being trapped in the identity that they have received from friends, family, loved ones, schools, watching television, or even reading religious texts. One realizes that none of those things define the greatness of the human spirit, the creative being that we carry within each and every one of us. the one that is each and every one of us, you see. When we realize who we are, we become free to make the choices necessary to create a better world and to enjoy life and love and all that it does. We can push through the veil into, in Christianity, what they call the kingdom of heaven, that is not coming in the clouds, but in the midst of us here as people and within each and every one of us. This is the end of religion and the return, the great return to life. We come in this world as advanced beings, seeing everything and knowing everything, having a creative nature, being part of the one. But in order to come into this world and inhabit this small body created for us, we have to get rid of a lot of things, a lot of thoughts, a lot of memories, a lot of understanding. We find ourselves in the place where we are like the rich man that entered the kingdom of heaven. But in this case, we are the rich man who enters into the earth. What does that mean in that parable for a rich man to enter the eye of a needle, which was actually a gate that was very small, where one had to unload one's camel and the camel had to basically crawl through the hole. And then one had to load the camel again. So if a rich man came through and had several camels, it could take all day to unload each camel, take them through and load it up again. Well, when we are born, we come into the birth canal and we have to unload our thoughts, our feelings, our awareness of all the different universes and our beauty and wonder. We unload that. We pass through the birth canal, the eye of the needle. And then what happens is that we have to gather all of those things together. Again, we do this through our life experiences. We choose the parent we will be born to. We choose the family we will be born in. We put ourselves in situations where we will learn, where we will grow, where we will gather the gifts necessary to move forward in this material world. And then, as we grow in understanding and knowledge, what happens is we come to a point of dissatisfaction. We've done all we were told we needed to do. We've said what we needed to say. We worked hard to be who and what they told us we should be. We worked hard to be what they call good people. Many of us struggle and fight like crazy to be outstanding. Some are very successful at playing the game of this world, which is either collecting power over other people or collecting enough goods to be respected as someone who is contributing to society. Even then, we come to a point where we find dissatisfaction. The counselor and the psychologist will work with us and will try to teach us to be satisfied. They'll try to teach us to do what is called sublimate, to find things that interest us, so that we will find joy and fulfillment. Things that will take the place of what we're looking for. And if we don't find a counselor, sometimes we'll fall into old habits of addiction. Drugs, alcohol, being locked away, watching TV all day, anything that will take us away from a life of quiet desperation back to that feeling that we had in the womb before we were born, before we measured right from wrong, before we had the struggle. We'll find ourselves looking for ways to die to the world and to go back into the womb of the parent. But that's not the only thing that we can do. We can see satisfaction as a door. We can open that door and we can go forward, dying into reality, dying into a world of love and compassion, and realizing that we are the creative energy of the universe. We don't need to go into the womb of the mother. We go into the womb of reality. And when we realize, you see who we are and what we are. When we realize that the world can be a bastion of love and hope if we adopt the ways of love and hope, live in love and hope, and create love and hope wherever we want to. When we realize this, we remember who we are, and we're able to use our gifts and talents on earth as the creative beings that we were before. When this happens, time stops, karma stops, fear stops, because we know that the real us is eternal, untouchable, everlasting, and a very creative energy of love, of peace, of the God that we call on, living here on earth in order to help other beings. Remember and what they are. We are feeding our wisdom and our knowledge back to the one, back to the collective consciousness, and making the world and the universe more compatible, more loving, more sympathetic to the plight of beings living on the lower realms who have to struggle against death, against fear, against the feelings that we have when we see the innocent fall down, when we're stomped on, when we're put down, when we feel like lashing out, when we notice that some people have lost their way because they have lashed out so long, struggled so long, conquered so long, closed their hearts off so long that through their free will, they have chosen to condemn themselves. This is who we are. This is what we are. This is what we bring into the world. And this is why we should really begin to realize that what we see as God is and isn't God. Goddess is and isn't goddess. Truth is and isn't truth. Truth, God, goddess, as we understand it, is something we see through our lens. But we can experience all of these things as the lens falls away, and then we use these words and these images and these symbols so that others who have not had the experience can use them as a roadmap to progress. And so we come to the place once again where these things are what we say. But at the same time, they are not. That is the paradox we need to live in. Sometimes we might slip. We might fall into choosing one way or the other, saying that these things don't exist because of the idea that we have been given and the fact that that idea doesn't really exist. But this is an invitation not to go back, friends, but to go forward, not to fall back into old thought patterns and addictions, but to lift ourselves higher, to break out of that chrysalis, and to spread our wings and fly. Thanks for being with us. We hope that this podcast is really helping you and very helpful to you. If it is, please take time to share it with other people. Help us get more listeners. Help us provide ourselves with finances so that we can do more of these podcasts. And most of all, go out into the world and help more people begin to realize their own wonder, their own loveliness, and their own beauty. Visit our website. You can see it in the description. Consider supporting us or making a donation or purchasing our later book. You will see that at the website. Until our next radio show, next podcast, may your life be wonderful, beautiful, and full of wonder and grace. Because there is nothing more beautiful than you are. Namaste, everyone.